Thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Good morning, people of the way. We'll get that down sooner or later. The reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, 21 to 41. It's on page 1019 in the church Bibles. Listen as I read. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel, before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do to him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. But she did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Would you pray with me? Jehovah God, you put in place those very old faithful servants long before their time in biblical history had arrived. There are many times when we wait and wait and wait, yet you seem to be absent or slow to answer. Forgive us when we sell you short. You are always faithful and have full control over history and the events of the future. For you have said, For I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Help us to faithfully cling to your promises. Over millennia, you have spoken to your people in many ways and many voices. We pray today that as Pastor Jose speaks, you would also come upon him. Keep us alert. We need to hear from you. May it be so, we pray, in the authority given to us by Jesus, your Son, our Redeemer. Amen.
Christmas and the Christmas stories, a lot of them have to do with waiting, right? It's right after Thanksgiving, Advent starts, and it's about waiting. And when we read most of the stories, especially the ones surrounding Jesus in the Bible, those stories address the condition of those people around Jesus. And a lot of times they are struggling and they are in need. It's about addressing the status of those that are poor. And for some of us, as a result of Christmas, we're a little bit poorer, right? Because of what we spent. So this idea of being a little bit poorer and waiting is what today's message is about, right? And I think if you was to ask anybody, right, it's like if you had a choice to pick between being a little bit poor or waiting, most of us would probably choose being a little bit poorer because we don't like to wait, right? Nobody likes to wait. We want answers now. You know, you go to the doctor, you get a test. Guess what you want? Results now, right? And all of a sudden you do not like when the doctor says, come back in a week and we'll have your results. Right, and meanwhile, now for a whole week, you're anxious. But waiting, right? What is it about waiting, right? It's when we look at Scripture, right? There are certain things in Scripture that highlight waiting. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, and all of a sudden, God was passing judgment, And in the beginning, in chapter 3, verse 15, God would say, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Ever since those words were spoken, we've been waiting for that to happen. At the end of the Old Testament, when Malachi speaks his last word, we entered this period of the intertestamental period, 400 years, where God was just silent, right? And you sit and you wonder, right? It's like, well, is he still there? Did he like leave his post? Did I have it all wrong, right? And it's almost as if our following God is built in this process of waiting. Advent, not only is it a period of waiting, but it's a period of reminding us that he's going to come again. And for you and I, we've been waiting, humanity, 2,000 years for his next return. Waiting. Right? And here's the thing, right? Is there comfort in waiting? I think this is what Scripture wants to teach us today. To be able to wait and wait well because God said so, and that is okay, right? And I love this story, right? Because it's a story that happens 8 days after the birth of Christ. It's a story that most of us hardly ever read because we tend to highlight the coming of the three kings. But the thing is, the coming of the three kings happens when Jesus is already 2 years old, right? He's a toddler, right? But it's, we like that imagination of, right? But this is a better after Christmas story, right? Because it's 8 days after the birth of Christ, right? And it just, you have to just allow it to capture your heart. And we're introduced to two individuals that are content in waiting. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb, and when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem, presented him to the Lord. Right? So here's the amazing part about these verses. Right, as we know, based on what we already learned in the Gospel of Luke, right, that Joseph and Mary were listening to the laws of the government at the time because they went back to their hometown to be registered. But then we also see that he is following the customs of their religion, right? And all of this is happening so you and I could see Jesus stepping into humanity, his creation, right? And Jesus, right, submitting, right, to everything that's in place. Like sometimes you and I want to fight against the laws of the government, right? We want to push back, and yes, sometimes there's a time for that. But what we see from the beginning, God as a infant baby submitting to the laws of the land. And that's good for you and for me, right? Because God isn't doing something different than what he's expecting us to do. And then the law of Moses is in reference to Leviticus 12. Right? It's everything that you need to do once that child is born. And it's in reference of purification because she just gave birth. Depending if it's a male, is 33 days. If it's a female, is 66 days. That she's not supposed to touch anything holy. Otherwise, she makes it unholy. Right? So they're submitting to everything. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of Moses, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. The first verse there, verse 23, references Exodus 2, right, where you're instructed that if you have your first male, that you're going to offer that child to the Lord. And then verse 24 has to do with the offering that you are going to give. The requirement was a lamb. But you can see their status because God's law made provisions for those who were poor. If you cannot afford a lamb, then you can bring a turtle dove, two of those, or two young pigeons. So you can see the status of Joseph and Mary. They weren't wealthy, right? They weren't above their means, but they wanted to do everything possible to fulfill their requirements. Jesus getting circumcised, right? It's a picture of him being connected to humanity, right? And Jesus himself breaking those boundaries, not only with the Israelites, but also with the Gentiles. It's why we can have such a connection with Jesus. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he has seen the Lord Christ. Right? You would think that if you and I were going to be introduced to an individual, especially somebody important in Scripture, that we would have, right, his resume. Right, and the only thing we know of this guy is that he was righteous, he was devout, he's been waiting, right, and waiting for the consolation, the comfort of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Right, how many of us today consider ourselves believers in Jesus Christ? And to be believers in Jesus Christ, that only happens by the work of the Holy Spirit. So are you one to be content in waiting? Oh, we might have a problem, right? Because we don't like to wait, right? We don't like to wait, right? We want to know, right? But here's this guy. Content. Like, we don't hear anything else about his background, right? We don't hear who he talked to, who he's reached out to. We don't hear the business in which he's involved in. We don't even hear of his bucket list, the things he wants to check off in life. No, the only thing he's content with is waiting, because God told him at one point he was going to see the Christ. You know what? I'm waiting. Right? And there's something for you and I to learn on this. To wait, and wait well. Not to grumble. Right? Oh God, I can't wait. I can't believe I gotta wait. Right? Right? Not to grumble. Right? And to know that what the Holy Spirit revealed to him was going to happen, and that was enough for him. Is that enough for you? To be able to have Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God, right? And he said, what are you waiting for? Right? Right, all of this anticipation, and here's the thing, right? It's in order to answer this question, there's also a series of other questions that lead from this one question, right? And these are questions that are being asked of you and me as we're looking to answer, what are you waiting for, right? Who are you? What matters to you? What's the purpose of life? What are you hoping for? What are you working for? What are you willing to live for or die for? What do you want for those you love? Who are you accountable to? How do you make a decision about what to do next? What are you doing with your one and only life? Right? And I believe all of these questions, in order to answer what are you waiting for, right? These are the questions that Simeon's going to answer by his response, right? And he's responding by reciting Isaiah, right? Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, the light of the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. Right? It's these four verses, we could spend a whole Sunday morning going through them. Right, but these are the verses that Simeon just sang out as he's holding this baby. Right? That's, imagine being that content. Right? That nothing else matters. Right? It's no job, no relationship, no house, no car, right? No raise. No bonuses, no, right? All those things that we think are important, none of that matters when it comes to, I have Jesus, right? The one I've been waiting for, right? And here's the thing, right? God said it, and God enabled him by the power of the Holy Spirit to wait, right? And I would question, why do we have such a problem waiting? Right? It's, if God said it, right, why are we struggling? Right? And I know sometimes, you know, I ask people that question and they say to me, well, that's the human condition. Right? That's like the cheap answer. Right? That's like the easy pass, right? When you're playing Monopoly, you go past the jail, right? And right, it's to be able to rest in God's word, right? And to know, right, that because he has said it, you and I can take it pretty much as guarantee. Right, he said he's going to return. Right, and some of us might question, well, when's he going to return? When's he going to come back? When, right, I think our attitude is, he said it, so it's going to happen, so let me live my life as if it's going to happen. Right, and let me not get distracted by the things of this world. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. Right? You can imagine Joseph and Mary. Right? It's like you can hear their minds being exploded by what they just heard. Right? The angel Gabriel said to them, what the shepherds said to them. Right? And now, again, they're, hey, we're just going, right, to circumcise our boy. And all of a sudden, words are being spoken of Jesus, right, that Jesus is going to be the consolation of humanity. Simeon says, now I can go. I can die in peace, right? It's like that is his achievement in life. That's like the greatest pinnacle that Simeon is saying, you know what? It's thank you, Lord, for revealing this to me. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and the sword shall pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Right? And here's what it's, he is speaking these words of blessing to them, but he's also pronouncing that as much as Jesus is going to be a blessing to many, Jesus is going to be a problem to many. Right? Jesus is a problem to many today. Right? I know this, that you can talk about any religion in mixed company, and for the most part, nobody's going to have an issue. You talk about Jesus in mixed company, people got issues. Right? People got a problem with Jesus. Right? And all these other religions, all of them talk about what you have to work to in order to be able to have access to God in heaven. And Jesus, he does all the work for you so that you can have access to God in heaven. My hope is that you don't have a problem with Jesus. That you are just holding on to him. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phineal, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, right? So we already learn, right? When scripture says advanced in years, she's old, right? Having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. Right, so here it's a little bit different with Anna. We're getting a little bit more information than we did from Simeon. Right, we can see that she was married. She was married very young, and after 7 years of being married, her husband dies. Right, and scripture says, and then as a widow until she was 84 years old, she did not depart from the temple. Right, well, where was she most of the time? At the temple, right? It's, she too got a word from God, and she was okay waiting. She didn't go look for another husband. She didn't go look for another family. She said, okay, God, right? It's, here's my appointed responsibility. Worshiping and fasting and prayer day and night, night and day. Right, worshiping God, right? Is that enough? Is that enough for you to be able to just be in the presence of God, to be able to enjoy him? And coming up at the very hour she began to give thanks to God and to speak to all with whom waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Right? It's everybody who came. It's, she's just telling them of this great news. But here's the thing. It's, she also didn't know the full story of what the redemption of Israel meant. Right? But she knew it was good news. And she too, right, had to wait. Right, and the question comes back to, what are you waiting for? Right? What are you, what am I waiting for? Right? Scripture tells us, right, how the story ends. And we've been waiting for 2,000 years for his next return. And the question is, are you using your one and only life for his glory? Right? Or are you using your one and only life, right, to acquire and to get all the things that this world says you and I need? And, you know, every commercial that is put out, right, tells you that if you want to have a better life, a comfortable life, a life like you can't imagine, you need to purchase whatever's being advertised, right? And I'm saying, right, are you content just right where you are as long as you have Jesus? And it would end this way. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, right, they returned to Galilee, to their own town in Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. And the favor of God was upon him. Right? So you can see the family, right? It's, they are being stopped by these individuals who got a word from God, and they're speaking prophecy and blessing over Jesus and over Joseph and Mary, right? And you can almost imagine their minds, like, what is going on here? What is God going to do with this child Jesus? And they're doing as much as they can to be normal, right? Okay, we did the circumcision, we did the purification act, right? It's like we saw and spoke to these two individuals, and now we're heading home, right? And Luke, right? And here's like the amazing part, right? That Luke, being a Gentile, has given us insight into Judaism. Not Judaism like we know it today, but Judaism from back then, right? And he's giving us this window into the heart of God. What are you waiting for? Right? It's, are you waiting for your retirement fund to hit a certain number before you can go, okay, I'm ready? Right? Are you waiting for your house to be prepared the way you want it before you start doing things for God? Are you waiting for your educational level to increase before you step out into God? Right? It's, what are you waiting for? Right? Because there's going to come a time where the waiting's going to end. Right? It's amazing, right? We go through Advent, right? And at the beginning, there's that excitement and anticipation. And all of a sudden, when Christmas Eve comes and Christmas comes, it's like, it's over, right? It's like, it's over, right? Sometimes you start thinking, all right, when are we going to start taking this apart, right? We got to schedule, right? We got to take the trees down. We got to change it, right? Because we're going to step into the next season, right? We're into this routine. And I'm just saying, don't let this season go by too quickly, right? Right. Sit there, enjoy it for what it is, right? You know, it's a story of a man who got a word from God, and after many years of waiting, after he sees Jesus, you know what he says? Now I could die in peace. Right? Can you imagine? Like that would be the very thing that satisfies him. Does that satisfy you? Right? It's, right? Like ask yourself all those things that you still want or need or want to achieve, right? I'm saying, is Jesus enough? Is he enough for you? I hope he is. Right? Especially as we come to the table, right? Because his birth points to his death. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for Simeon and Anna, for their story of waiting and waiting well. And Lord, I pray for each one of my brothers and sisters as now we waited through this message and prepare to partake of this table, Lord, that we too would be comforted by your presence. Lord, help us now as we commune with you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.